just a word about this prophecy of Amos, because it's very important and very profound. Notice how Amos's whole message is against those who oppress the poor. Today we have it again, you know, and the unjust and dishonest business practices. We're going to cheat when we sell our wheat. You know, we're going to make the weights bigger so it looks like, instead of I put a little pound weight on there, it's a pound and a quarter. So, you know, I'm charging you for a pound and a quarter. See, it's the weight. And all against the poor. Now, what happens when our hearts are that closed and that hard that we're oppressing those who most have need? The Word of God disappears. There's a famine for the Word of God. And do you know what happens when the Word of God disappears? There's darkness. Our only way out of darkness is to be led and guided by the Word of God. That's the only way out. And when a civilization starts to lose any contact or stops listening to those who are moved by the Word of God, who provide a prophetic insight, it's over. And it's over for Samaria. It won't be long after Amos leaves there, that whole part of the land is conquered and they're all sent into exile. Hard for us to grasp, there is a wrath of God. And the punishment here is not, you're going to eat all the bread you want, but the bread that keeps you alive, I'm going to deprive you of it. How? I'm going to let your minds be so darkened that even if it's right in your midst, you won't be able to get it. And you'll lose direction. We don't realize. You know, we're called to a life with God forever. We're not just called to live a good, upright life here. And when we lose the Word of God, we fall apart. In a country like ours, where there is excessive wealth on one hand and excessive poverty on the other, we run the risk, and it's happening, that we no longer get the Word of God. We don't understand it. We don't get it. It's a famine. Problem is that most people, though they're famished, don't know what for. It's a very serious situation, and you notice he didn't say, I'm going to take it from the prostitutes and the... No. They're sinning, but they will never lose the Word of God. It'll always be present to them. And when they turn their hearts, they'll be changed. The little petty crooks and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all those people. Which is exactly what happens in the gospel. It's a typical vocation story. The one calling passes by. You remember we just had this a few weeks ago. Elijah's passing by and he throws his cloak over Elisha. Remember? This is typical. This is the way the Bible constructs many vocation stories. Jesus is passing by and he says to the fisherman, come follow me. Someone's engaged in his profession, engaged in his occupation. And the caller comes by and calls him and he drops everything and goes. So Matthew does this. The difference is that Matthew is working for the government. He's at a customs post. The road from the India and so forth down to Egypt goes through Israel. And it comes down through the valley there, at the Jordan Valley. And then they turn west and go by Capernaum and then down to the sea and then the way of the sea down to... So that's a key spot. And just like we have to pay tolls on the road, right? So you have to pay to use this road. And Matthew is the man collecting these tariffs, these... what do we call them on the road? Tolls, yeah. He's collecting them, see? So he's a pretty clever fellow. You know, he's not just a regular old tax collector. He's a pretty good fellow. And the Lord just says, come. And it says, you see, he got up and followed him. Then, if you remember, like, what does Elisha do after he's called? He has a party. He slaughters one of the oxen, takes some of the plowing equipment, makes a fire, and has a party. I've been called by God. That's exactly what Matthew does. Who does he invite? Well, he invites all his friends. And these are the people, you see, I couldn't follow him right now myself, but it couldn't happen to a better guy. I'm glad you're called, you know? You wouldn't find that among the rich. You see, this is the people that Amos is criticizing. They're so comfy and powerful and ease their mind in the way they cheat and lie. See? And so the Pharisees are a little bit more than a little. See? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors? Because some of the disciples are there with Jesus, you see. With tax collectors and sinners. Jesus heard it. So he turns around and he says to them, go, you see, learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now, that's a good way to translate that, but the word under it in Hosea, as Jesus well knows, is I desire chesed. I desire enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. That's what I desire, not sacrifice. And if you had a serious, you know, fidelity to the covenant, you'd take care of these poor. That's what hesed means. You see, we always translate it, right? We don't have a word for it. It's a shame we don't, because it would help our culture a lot to have imprinted on us this vision of an enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. That's what hesed means. The covenant is, you take care of the poor. Enthusiastically. And so, and then, let me tell you something. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinners. You want to be on Jesus' good side? Be a sinner. As those are the ones. Now, sooner or later, you ought to quit sinning. But, I mean, you know who you are. And you're never going to give yourself airs. These are very beautiful words for us today. The opposite is terrifying. Not to live like this, not to care, means that even though the Word of God is right there, we can't feed on it. We're starving. And that's the famine.